We'll have our New Testament today, Romans 8, 31 through 39. So what do you think with the God on our side like this? How can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate us. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. The Word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Beth. It's wonderful.
Not the same words as...
No, it's not. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Anybody else catch that? Different words. You're probably saying, oh, they messed up again. Nope, not really. I'll tell you why. What she read was the Living Bible, the Message. And what we are going to do today, as we continue to look at this passage, we looked at it last week. And we spent some time in Romans chapter 8 last week, and we're doing again this week, going back to that same passage, those 8, 9 verses, 31 through 39. We're spending time there, but I wanted you to hear the Living Bible. I wanted you to hear the Message. You were reading the English Standard Version, which is kind of a more literal, direct translation from the Greek. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about what exactly Paul was talking about here today. Well, hopefully not too much time, but we're going to spend some time talking about what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 8. And so I think hearing it, if you don't have the Message or if you don't have a copy of the Living Bible, you may have a different version that you carry to church with you. And it's all interesting. We're going to talk about some of these things. There's a phrase that he says in here, in this passage. Eugene Peterson, who did the Living Translation, the Message, just passed away recently. But Eugene Peterson went to the Greek as well, and Eugene Peterson wanted us to kind of get a fresh hearing of the Word. And so he used these words. He said, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. There is no way. Last week we started talking about the fact that we really want to move into a place where our faith becomes fact. Where our faith is no longer just kind of an understanding or something that's in our head, but a fact of our lives, that we believe the truth. And Jesus said, what about the truth? The truth will set you free. It will set you free from the bondage of Satan in your life. I fall to it all the time. Often, I catch myself when Satan begins to, you know, kind of manipulate my emotions or manipulate what I'm thinking, you know. He tries to get in there and he tries to say, oh, you know, your church is a disaster. And it's not, is it? I don't know. You might think it is. I don't know. No, he tries to come in and he tries to worm his way in. And oftentimes, and Heather is so wonderful at this, at just saying, just don't pay attention to that kind of thing. He's wrong. So I, again, have to go back to Satan and say, I have to quote verses like this. You can't separate me. God is with us. God is with me. You can't. I'm not going to listen to your lies anymore because I want my faith to not be manipulated by the surroundings around me or not manipulated by how I feel, but instead firmly rooted on the truth of the gospel of Christ. He says in this passage some very, very important things, and I really, really want us to take a look at this. Look at the things that that we come against in this passage. Look at the things that we come against. First of all, he talks about trouble. He says, can trouble separate you from Christ and from his love? By the way, when he says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, do you know what nothing means? Literal translation? It means nothing. No thing. Nothing. Nothing. Okay? That's a fact. Nothing can separate you. And he starts off by saying trouble. Can trouble separate you from Christ? And the literal translation of the word trouble means everyday jumble. Anybody here have everyday jumble? Anybody here start a project in your life, whatever that might be, and you say, oh, I can get this done in no time at all? You're laughing already, Terry, aren't you? Because that's never the case. I love that Paul used that word, and it just simply means everyday stuff. See, somehow we get it in our minds, then Satan puts it in our minds, and he wants us to think that the daily struggles that we go through, paying bills. Anybody like paying bills in here? And we sit sometimes, and boy, I remember so many years of praying, Heather and I praying over the bills. God, you're going to have to do a miracle here, you know? It's a miracle. We got the bills paid. But everyday jumble. I love how he used that word. Hard times. Hard times. And really, it's kind of a very broad word when he's talking about. It's kind of related actually to trouble. But I think he goes a step deeper. When he talks about everyday jumble in the first one, he kind of gets a little bit more specific, but the word is not really very specific. You got to understand something about Greek, and especially Paul's writings. It's very frustrating to translate. Very frustrating. Here's why. The Apostle Paul is dictating, all right, because his handwriting was very poor. They say that his handwriting, he may have had arthritis, would have been one of the maladies that he suffered from. Or from the fact that he was beaten a number of times, that his hands didn't work properly, had motor skill problems. So he always had somebody write down what he was saying. And the problem, it's kind of like if somebody were to try to dictate my preaching, it'd be very difficult to do. And the problem with the Apostle Paul was that when he was dictating, especially from prison, when he was dictating to somebody what he wanted to say in a letter, he would go an entire paragraph with one vowel. Or not one vowel, one verb. Imagine. And so here, it's kind of the same thing. It's a very broad term that he uses, but it's kind of yet a little bit more specific because it could be a loss of a job or illness or loss of a loved one. Now, come on. In our lives, sometimes when things happen to us, especially unexpectedly, I know we think that the Lord has somehow abandoned us, or he's forgotten us, or somehow he's so far away he's not really seeing what's happening in my life. Hogwash. He's right there. Hard times cannot separate you from the love of Christ. It can't, and me. What about hatred? And I put in there, without the closing parentheses, but anyways, it says, and yes, no matter what you do or try to do to make people like you, some may hate you. That bothers you, doesn't it, when somebody doesn't like you? Anybody sensitive? Oh, I'm not. I'm not sensitive at all when it comes to that. You see, when somebody and they do things against you, you know, Paul says that cannot separate you from Christ. It can't. Jesus said, blessed are you, happy are you when people tell lies about you and say all manner of evil against you because of me. You guys that are studying Matthew with me know that passage real well, don't you? But hatred, when somebody hates you, it cannot separate you from Christ. How about hunger, homelessness? We just heard all of this. And did you see the glow in those young people's eyes, those kids' eyes? It cannot separate you. Hunger, homelessness cannot separate you from the love of Christ. And that really does, though that word, less about homelessness, but more about poverty, just real poverty, can include homelessness, but poverty, being poor, being without things. We don't really know, a lot of us don't know what that's like in this world today. We have no clue. It's interesting. How about bullying threats? Kindunas is the Greek there. I thought I'd put that up there. I just love, isn't that a cool, those cool letters? Kindunas is the word. It means danger. Bullying threats is how Eugene Peterson wanted to use that, and I kind of like that. That's why we use the Living Bible today to read from the pulpit. I kind of like that. Bullying threats. Anybody here ever bullied in their life? We get bullied all the time. Did you ever go try to get your car fixed? I can tell you some stories. Oh, can I tell you some stories? Bullying threats. Nobody can bully you. How about backstabbing? That's what that word, that's the best translation of that word. Backstabbing. Eugene Peterson used it, and I'm glad he did, because it's a good translation. Nobody ever does that in the church, do they? No. Did anybody ever do that in your life? Your family? No. See, it can't separate you from Christ. Can't separate you from Christ. How about the worst sins recorded in Scripture? Is how Eugene Peterson did that. Really, not a good term. That's the word I don't like that he uses, because the literal word means sword, or peril, or sword. You know how a lot of translations say that? Some of your translations that you're carrying today, I'm sure, say that. The literal word is sword. But really, there's an understanding here of warring, and really even warring against God. How do you like that? The scripture says that when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. Now that's neat. And that's really the understanding that's going on here. That's really the translation that's going on. That's really Paul's intention, I believe, is that he's saying, even when you war against God, which is the worst sin you possibly can, the Lord says, I'm never going to stop loving you. I can't. Even the worst sins. Interesting. How about living or dead? Oh, man, here's where Zoe comes in, or Zoe, you know. Nothing in this life can be able to separate you from God. Nothing. Not even death can separate you from Christ. Living or dead. Anything alive, anything dead. That really is the closest translation. He's talking about anything that is living or has died can separate you from the love of Christ. You know what he's doing? He's covering every single base. Every single base. When he's talking about living, there are really two words that he could have used there. But Zoe means effective life. It means growing life. It means substantial life, not just living things. So nothing living and nothing dead. Why would you think that he would throw dead in there? Because he's covering every single base. Nothing living or anything that has ever died can separate you from the love of Christ. I just love it. I can just see him struggling, you know, with coming up with words. Okay, what else can I think of? Okay, I'm going to say anything living or anything that's died, nothing, either living or dead, can separate you from the love of Christ. He's getting pretty deep. And then he says, he goes beyond that, which is really kind of cool. Either angelic or demonic. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And this is where I like, because you know what? On this one, he's talking about kind of this world. And this one, he's talking about anything supernatural. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. I've told you of a time when I came across a person who definitely was possessed. There's no doubt about it. They try to scare you, you know? And I always say, is that the best you got? Okay. You lose. The word for angelic is angelos, which is a messenger from God. That's how we get angel, angelos. A messenger from God. How would a messenger from God separate you from God? Paul's point exactly. Covering every base, gang. Every base. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. How about demonic? The actual word there, which is, it comes out as rulers sometimes. Comes out as rulers. Is translated as that. Here's what it says in Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it's verse 6 of Jude. And Jude comes right before Revelation, if you have your Bible with you. Verse 6 says, though you already all know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. That is the terminology that Paul is using when he's talking about those who were at one time angels and are now demons. They cannot separate you from Christ. They cannot separate you from Christ. I don't care how hard they try. I don't care how many ways they try. They cannot separate you and I from Christ. They can't. They can't. It's impossible. Because nothing. And again, what does nothing mean in the Greek? Nothing. There is nothing in this world or the supernatural world that will take you from God's care. Nothing, nothing, nothing can take you from His hand. Nothing. No one can take you from His hand. And that is a fact. So when trouble comes your way, when hard times come your way, you look the enemy in the eye and say, you lose. Because nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. Father, I'm grateful to you today. Truly grateful. For everything that you've done for us, you know. I don't know if we fully understand that. I think we always like to work on a human level. We can't understand grace that goes that far. But Lord, help us to understand it. Help us, Lord, to understand that our faith is a fact and based on fact and not somebody's delusions. Help us, Lord, to walk in faith and to walk in fact. We'll give you thanks for everything you do. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. All the people of God said, amen.